My siblings, let us pray. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts, be acceptable to you, my Lord, my rock, and my redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. For many years, my family and I would spend our summer vacations in Colorado. Though we weren't experienced hikers, so we would just find a hike and trail that we really liked the morning of and said, yeah, sure, 6 miles doesn't sound too bad, and just head for it. But yet we looked forward to our time away in the trails. On the hike up, we would trudge along, either singing songs, saying jokes, or just being silent, or asking our parents, why don't we have one of those fancy sticks that everybody seems to be carrying? Occasionally we would grumble, and always panting as we made our way upward. But my siblings, something magical would happen as soon as we reached that summit. All the struggle of the climb seemed to vanish instantly, replaced by complete wonder at the absolute beauty spread upon us. The view from the top was always exquisite. We would unpack our bags, and there's six of us, so it would take time, drink some water, share a simple meal. We would play near the water, the waterfalls, take pictures, because of course it didn't happen if you don't have it for Instagram. And then we would take some naps in this wonderful place. It was one of the best naps that I always took. Those moments at the mountaintop is where I still feel the closest to God. There, my calling feels clear, so clear. My spirit is centered. My heart is full of joy. Hope radiates throughout my body. I must be honest to say it's a feeling that I rarely find elsewhere in our often heavy and difficult world. And so, when the inevitable comes and the moment that I dreaded comes when we need to return, for I never wanted to leave. I was always the one saying, stop you, mommy, just 5 more minutes. I just need to look out, just 5 more minutes. My siblings, I wanted to linger in that peaceful, beautiful place rather than to face the reality that awaited below. Even if it was just returning to school, returning to work, or just the messiness of our human life, I wanted to just stay there 5 more minutes before coming back down. And yet, we always had to descend, had to re-enter this world. Though now, every time we would descend, we were carrying with us that new profound joy and hope, and the hope of sharing it with others. In many ways, this experience mirrors the story we encounter today in today's gospel. For it says, Jesus took him, Peter, and John, and James, and they went up on a mountain to pray. Now, my siblings, that is just the first line, and yet this opening line already tells us so much about who Jesus is, what his mission is, and what might just happen once he gets to the top. In that first line, there's already a clue if you look closely, but to fully understand its significance, we need to look at what happened just before this reading. In Luke 9, verses 21 through 27, Jesus has just told his disciples that he would undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, by the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. That is what we last heard before this mountaintop experience. Jesus telling his disciples, his friends, I will suffer and I will die, and the hope in the resurrection. This declaration reveals a profound tension at the heart of Jesus' ministry, a tension between the two versions of Jerusalem, two understandings of how God works in the world. In the Jerusalem of Jesus' time, it was the chief priests and the scribes who believed that they were the ones entrusted to be the chief judges and gatekeepers of righteousness. They operated in temples and interpreted laws and maintained religious order. But in Jerusalem, of their biblical ancestors, in the time of Abraham and Jacob and Moses and others, it was the prophets. It was the prophets of Israel who were messengers appointed by God. These prophets spoke on behalf of God and made known God's righteousness, mercy, and compassion. And now, where did these prophets go when they needed to pray? Where did they go when they needed to preach or to draw closer to God? My siblings, they weren't found in temples surrounded by religious authorities. They were found preaching in the wilderness, meeting God and God's people in the holy mountains, away from the temples and away from the laws. Prophets like Elijah and Moses did this so well in our Hebrew scriptures. So as Jesus, Peter, James, and John climbed that mountain, they're stepping into this prophetic tradition. They're moving away from the centers of religious power and into the wilderness where God continues to meet people. And then in the most light-bringing, astounding, and possibly scary thing happens when Jesus' face changed and his clothes become dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. And for a moment, put away the possible fear and just try to sit with, can you imagine the hope of seeing the two biggest prophets, Elijah and Moses, seeing Jesus' clothes light up? Can you just imagine the hope, the awe, the wonder in that moment? Peter is all of us. He is astounded by what he is witnessing, praying for it to stay this way. He doesn't want to go back down. He wants to stay in that mountaintop. He wants to stay there and take in all that goodness, all that hope of those prophets being together, all that hope of things being finally rebalanced and radically changed. Hope that maybe his friend and teacher doesn't have to die after all. Hope that they can just stay up there 5 more minutes away from the fear and the loudness and the chaoticness of our human broken life. So Peter says what I think I would have said and what many others would have said. Master, it is so good for us to be here. Let us make 3 dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. It feels good to be here. It is good for us to be here, he says. I don't know, these words just break me because you can hear the yearning. You can almost hear the anxiety of like, no, like 5 more minutes, please. I just need to take it all in. Just please, before we go back down, just 5 more minutes. Peter, like us, just wants to grasp that feeling of familiarity, that feeling of safety. And we know that feeling. We've all been Peter in these moments when we experience the divine, when we feel that profound connection to God, when we glimpse at the kingdom of heaven. We want to hold on to it. We want those extra 5 minutes. We want to build dwellings for it. We want to stay. But my siblings, mountaintops are places of revelation, not of residence. And yet, even as Peter is trying to capture and contain all of this glory before him, in the midst of Peter's planning, in the middle of his attempt to preserve this holy moment, God interrupts. And God speaks just as God spoke in Jesus' baptism, just as God spoke over the waters of creation. God speaks again, "This is my Son. My chosen, listen to him." And in that moment, everything becomes clear as it usually does on the mountaintops. The veil is briefly lifted up so the disciples, not so that the disciples can escape the world, but so they may better understand who Jesus truly is as he walks towards the cross and towards Jerusalem. This mountaintop revelation illuminates the valley journey ahead. Finally get it. Jesus has come to carry their burden of righteousness earning to the cross. Jesus has come to carry our burdens of faithfulness to the grave. Jesus has come to carry the burden of God's people so that we don't have to carry our own burdens alone. This is the Messiah that we have been encountering during this Epiphany season, born in the manger, baptized in the River Jordan, who turned water into wine in Cana, who filled the fishing nets on the lake, who preached on the plain. This is Jesus, transfigured prophet of the Most High God, who does not stay in the mountaintop. For my siblings, God's prophets may go up the mountains, but they are sent down to bring God down to God's people. Jesus the Messiah is coming down the mountain with Peter, James, and John, and all of us, so that we may know that it's not our burden to earn our righteousness, nor our right to even stay on the mountaintop, but so that we can face our changing world, even though we would much rather stick with the world that meets our expectations and yearnings. God has always been coming down to meet us and to carry our burdens, to walk with us in the suffering, to show us the way through uncharted waters. And this is where we find ourselves today, isn't it? In a world filled with so much division, fear, and hatred. A world where many fundamental rights are at risk. A world that sometimes just seems unrecognizable to us. My siblings, we long for that clarity at the mountaintop. I know I do. We yearn for that feeling of being so close to God that we get it, where we're centered in our calling and filled with joy and peace and hope. But like Jesus, we're called to come down from the mountaintop. Coming down the mountain is hard. I get it, physically. I mean, it's just as probably as hard as getting up. But it also means facing the brokenness that meets us at the end in the real world. It means stepping into the pain and confusion of a divided nation, divided community, divided household. It means standing with those whose rights and dignity are being threatened. It means carrying the memory of the mountaintop to carry within us to the valley of the shadows. And yet, I dare say this is precisely what gives us hope. A God who comes down to us in a world that we hardly recognize to remind us that even in the midst of the chaos, God remains the same and holds us to a faith that roots us in the image of God, that gives us an identity in the body of Christ. The Reverend Eric Parker writes, God comes to meet us because we are God's people, weighed down with burdens that only God can carry. So God comes to carry them and to carry us. In God's word spoken here, in the waters of God's cleansing grace, in the bread and wine of mercy, in Christ's body and blood, in all these things, God comes down the mountain to us. This is the rhythm of our faith. We go up to the mountain to encounter that beautiful view, to encounter God. But we must come down the mountain to bring God's healing presence into a broken world. We come down the mountain not because the mountaintop wasn't real or gorgeous or beautiful or needed, but because the glory we witness there, the glory we witness there isn't meant to just stay up there. It's meant to transfigure us as we walk and bring it into the valleys. In these challenging times, as we navigate political divisions and threats to our rights and siblings, we may feel like we're so far off from the mountaintop. The path ahead may seem unclear, the burdens may feel far too heavy, but remember, we don't walk this path alone. The same Jesus who was transfigured on the mountain walks with us in this very moment in this valley. And more than that, the experience of the mountaintop, it changes us. So we get to carry that glimpse of God's glory. We can never be the same. We carry that light with us, like it or not, as we navigate the shadows. We bring that mountaintop experience with us to bring hope with us as we confront despair. We embody that love as we stand against hatred. On this Transfiguration Sunday, as we prepare to enter the season of Lent. We are reminded that faith isn't about just staying on the mountain. It is about allowing ourselves to be transformed by the mountain so that we can transform those around us in the valley. And so, my beloved siblings, we go down the mountain with Jesus. And remember that as we go, Jesus is with us on the way down. The God who met Moses in that burning bush, who fed Elijah in the wilderness, who shined with glory on the mountaintop, that is the God who continues to meet us in the midst of our messy, complicated, and yet still so beautiful lives. This God strengthens us to be bearers of light in dark places, to be voices of love in hateful times, to be agents of healing in a broken world. And so as we leave this place today, may we carry the light of the mountain within us. May we be transfigured by our encounter with the living God. And may we have the courage to follow Jesus, not just up the mountain, but back down again into the world that God loves so. Amen.
Amen.